Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
I'm excited to jump into today's show because I think it's an undervalued aspect of copywriting and humanity in general right now. So let's jump into it.
Yeah, a soft skill, you might say, but a very powerful one. So today we're going to do another episode of Just Because It's a Story Doesn't Mean It's a Hero's Journey Story. What I mean by that is many people have been misleading copywriters and salespeople for a while now. Here's what they do. They say, if you're going to tell a story, it's got to be a hero's journey story. As you may know, in my book, The Persuasion Story Code, I happen to have a copy of it here. In my book, The Persuasion Story Code, I show 25 types of stories that are decidedly not hero's journey stories. They actually come from successful sales letters and other direct response copies. So this is proven stuff. And I show how you can adapt and use these stories in your copy without having to write a hero's journey story. Today, I want to focus in on stories where you walk a mile in your prospect's shoes. These are from chapter 4, and the shorthand name for these stories is empathy stories. They're tremendously useful in gaining trust and creating connection with your prospects, which is very important in these extremely low trust times. Not only that, I've added a fifth kind of story, which is not even in the book. So we've got a lot to cover today. Just as soon as we cover this, copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast. Most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So the official name for the type of story we're going to talk about today is a story about what your prospect is experiencing, which is accurate, but maybe a little bit of too much of a mouthful for a podcast. So for shorthand, we'll just call them empathy stories. Now, there's an old saying in sales, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. It's totally true, and it drives the smartest guys in the room crazy. But if being smart is all they've got, then they're at a definite disadvantage when it comes to making sales. Empathy stories show that you care. They don't say that you care, literally, but by the very act of telling someone that you know what they're feeling, thinking, or otherwise experiencing, you are showing among the most profound forms of caring that exists on this earth. And that's what these stories do. So I've renamed the stories in the book. I've given them a new name from the name in the book to make this a little more fun and even easier to understand than what's in the book. We're going to cover all four from the book, plus, like I said, a new one that's not even in the book.
I notice that people, even salespeople, have this tendency to try to impress people into buying. And it goes right back to what you said. They want to say, look at how much I know. Look at how awesome I am. Look at how great I am. Look at how awesome my product is. But nobody's going to listen to that until they know that you actually care and understand about what they're going through. And that's why that thing that you said earlier is so important. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah, thanks for underlining that. And you're absolutely right. I mean, if you want to brag about your stuff, fine, but don't do it as the first thing. Do something like this as the first thing. So let's get to story type one. And this story is called I Know Your Pain. And this is an empathy story that describes your prospect's pain or problem. It's in your voice as the offer owner, as a copywriter, person to person. But it's not about a pain that you have experienced personally. Instead, it's an understanding description of the pain they experience. Something later that you will offer a possible solution for. Not in the story, but later. And the solution, of course, is your product or service or SaaS or app or something, your offer. So this kind of story gives you a lot of credibility, this I know your pain story, because it shows you know what you're talking about, and it builds trust too. We've often heard that when you can describe a prospect's pain better than the prospects can themselves, you will make the sale. And even if you can't describe it better than they can, as long as you can relatably and accurately describe it, that'll do the trick. So let's say you have a product or a service that lowers routine day-to-day stress. You could write this story before you ever get into the product. You could write an I know your pain story like this. Every morning, you wake up dreading the commute ahead. As you sit in bumper-to-bumper traffic, you feel your blood pressure rising. By the time you finally arrive at work, you're stressed, frustrated, and already exhausted before your day has even begun. Now, it's only three sentences, but anyone who's in that situation will want to read what comes next. That's the beauty of a short persuasion story like this. Okay, so here are a few tips for putting together an I know your pain story for your copy. First, start with research. You can use customer surveys and interviews to gather real pain points and descriptions in your prospect's own words. Big mistake here is using your imagination without drawing on the real life experiences of people who actually have the problem. Don't guess what your prospects are feeling. Find out, not just in general either. Then use their exact words and phrases as much as you can in your story. When you use the same words they do, it really makes them feel like you're the real deal. The second thing is get out of your head and into your body, which includes your eyes, your ears, your hands, maybe even your nose. Use word pictures. Let them see what they've seen before. If it works, also describe what your prospect hears and feels when experiencing the pain. Maybe it's the sound of a creaking joint or the sight of a bulging waistline in the mirror. This takes it from conceptual to experiential. You want to dive into their actual experience of the pain when you write about it. And three, and this is the temptation you got to avoid, just focus on the pain itself, not the solution. Your solution comes later. Resist the urge to play the hero too soon. Your job here is to describe the pain so vividly that your prospect nods along thinking, that's exactly how I feel. Save your solution for later. The purpose of this kind of story is simply to establish rapport and connection with your prospect over their problem. That's all you need to do, so don't overdo it.
Okay, I got two questions for you. Ben Settle is a huge proponent of rubbing salt in the wound. He says that you got to really make it sting for them in order to get their attention. And you ended this with, don't overdo it. I wonder if those are conflicting thoughts for you.
Yeah, I don't think you necessarily need to rub salt in the wound with this. Okay. I think you can do it a little later on in your copy.
Gotcha.
I think if you piss them off too soon, you've lost them. If they trust you and they're interested and you make them uncomfortable, you've got a much better shot of selling.
Okay. And then the other question that I had, when you were reading the story, you kept saying you to the reader, you were experiencing this, you had this frustration. One thing that I've noticed is for my stuff, that might raise a defensive instinct in people. And so a lot of times when I'm writing about the pain point or I'm writing about the mistake that led to the pain point, I tend to say, I screwed up this way. I was dealing with this, man, I woke up feeling like crap every morning, and it feels like it gets them less defensive and more engaged. I wanted to get your thoughts on that as well.
Yeah. So I agree with you. We have a couple other stories that are a lot less direct. Okay. And, you know, sometimes you just need to test or use your gut sense as to which one is going to work best. So
I was jumping the gun.
I'd probably start. What's that?
I said I was jumping the gun a little bit.
No, that's okay. I mean, I start off with the most intense one, but we've got some other variations.
All right.
Let's do type two. And I'm going to have to sing a couple of the phrases, and this the name of this type of story is one. I can see what you see. Okay. A lot of copywriters make the mistake of thinking statistics reach people where they live. A statement like this doesn't have a lot of emotional resonance. Since 2020, consumer prices have increased by 21.4%, which is higher than the average increase over a four-year period in the past. It may be factually accurate, but it is about as emotionally inert as you can get. A story that illustrates what you want to get across is different. It resonates emotionally. As a result, it demonstrates that you know what's going on in your prospect's world. This will prime your prospect to stay alert for what you have to say next. Here's an example of that same point about inflation through a story about what's going on in your prospect's world. With inflation hitting record highs, you think twice about everything you put in your grocery cart. Why does bacon cost so much more than it used to? You bring your cart to the checkout and brace yourself for the total, wondering how much higher your bills will be this week. Now, that's really not so much about pain, you know, directly. It is about the anxiety and the wondering a little bit, but it's kind of about the world, it sort of shrinks their world down to a trip to the grocery store, but they can generalize that to the gas pump, to credit card bills, all those kind of things. So here's some tips for this. One, stay up to date with news and trends and follow social media conversations that are relevant to your market. Think about setting up Google Alerts. Now, when you get an alert, actually read the article reference. So read it like you're one of those people at the beach with the metal detector. You're looking for buried gold. When you can find a tidbit that you can work into a story, you've literally found gold. If you can spot trends before they become obvious to your competitors in your market, this gives you a real advantage in copy and in content. Two, find a broad trend or major news event, then tie it personally to how it impacts your prospect's daily life. That's what we did with the grocery store story about bacon. Man, just talking about this makes me want some more bacon. Okay, see how effective that is? But 21.4% didn't affect me viscerally at all. But mentioning bacon, that got my salivary glands going. Okay, the key idea here is to take what's environmental and universal, like inflation, and make it much more personal, like feeling anxiety when you are about to find out what your grocery bill is going to be. Okay, and the third tip is this works even better when your story is particularly relevant at a point in time. Now, you can't always do this, but when your story answers the implicit question, why now, that makes the offer you'll present later all the more urgent. It could be new regulations are on the horizon, making your prospect's problem worse in the B2B market, or a cultural shift that is creating great awareness and concern among people in your market. Take the extra step when you can to show why your solution is needed today, not someday.
So since you brought up inflation, I'm an economics nerd and I love watching debates between different economic philosophies. And I have noticed that usually in a debate, there will be one guy trying to argue logic and statistics. And even if he's the right, even if he or she is in the right, it's usually the one that's making the emotional appeals that gets more of an audience reaction. And it goes back to the people make decisions with their emotions and then back them up with logic. And so that's very important. The other thing that I wanted to just touch on, we, both me and you, were converts into playing with AI in our copy. But the one thing that you mentioned about setting alerts for articles and digging through them for those gold nuggets, that's something that AI is not good at yet. And it's one of those things that if you're a copywriter, even if you're a copywriter who does utilize AI in your copywriting, it's one of those things that you can still do that puts you ahead of everybody else who's strictly relying on AI for their copy. And I just thought that was such a powerful point.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. And, you know, I think one of the most important skills almost nobody talks about, but you just brought it up brilliantly, is to one of the most important skills when using AI is to know what AI is good at and what AI is not good at, and not to use it for things it's not good at. I'll just leave that there. All right. The type three story is, I feel your pain. I could actually do a musical thing, right? Like, I call your name. I feel your pain. These are the most personal stories of all. But this is also the kind of story you're talking about, Nathan, because while most personal, not necessarily the most confrontive, they are like a private back and forth conversation between you and the prospect. And what you're doing here is revealing an experience of yours that will ring a bell with your prospect's own experience. Authenticity is crucial here. You might invent or conjure other types of stories without as much risk, but this kind really needs to come from your actual life experience. You don't want the prospect to so much as even slightly suspect that what you're saying isn't 100% true. But when done right, these stories are powerful, extremely powerful, because you're making yourself vulnerable. When you use a story like this, it absolutely builds trust and it shows you understand your prospect's pain. If you have it yourself, you certainly understand in them. So here's an example. I remember the day my doctor told me I had high cholesterol. At first, I shrugged it off. After all, I felt fine. But when I started to look into the risks and kept researching more and more, I got very nervous when I discovered the whole story. Would I have to give up all my favorite foods? Was I destined for heart problems despite feeling healthy? I was scared about what this meant for my future. Okay, one, if you want to, tips, right? One, if you want to make this authentic, keep a journal about your experiences with this problem. Face it, your memory probably isn't as good as you think. So take some time, maybe over a few days or weeks, to write down everything you think and feel about this worry, pain, or problem. This is work and it takes time, but the real life story will be more than worth it in your copy. Two, when you tell a story like this, don't sugarcoat anything. Share the real details, including some embarrassing ones. If you felt shame about the problem, go ahead and say so. That kind of vulnerability can create a real connection with the prospect. Again, it's not easy to do, but it's worth it. Three, go beyond the problem and into the repercussions, the problem of the problem, the implication of the problem. Are there life experience or social implications to your problem? Does it keep you up at night, make you snap at your kids, force you to cancel plans with friends? Be willing to share one or two of those details. They make the story more relatable and give the reader more reason to want your product when you present it later on in your copy.
I think this would be one of those examples where I would choose, instead of writing, "You're irritable every morning, you're snapping at your kids," I would write, "I was irritable every morning, I snapped at my kids, I couldn't believe how much of an a-hole I was turning into," just getting back to what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, and you might have more guts than a lot of people too. I mean, you're willing to share, you know, experiences not everyone is, but that's excellent. Okay. Story type number four, they're inflicting pain on you. And I don't mean you, the copywriter. I mean you, the prospect. So this is the opposite of the last one, personal story involving the writer. This is a social story where you, as the writer, are not personally involved. But make no mistake, it's also very powerful. We are social beings, all of us. Just because someone doesn't like to socialize doesn't mean they don't have relationships with other people. Everyone does, and despite what some of them say, everyone cares about what certain other people in their lives think about them, which makes stories about social pressure, which is to say pressures from other people, very powerful if you do them right. Think about what it's like when you want to do or be something that family members don't want you to do or be, or maybe people you work with don't want you to, or maybe people in your community. That kind of stress creates feelings of pressure. When you can put that into a story, people relate to it and they get drawn into your copy. Here's an example. When you have your first child, it's a feeling of joy like you've never known before. Oh, sure, there are problems. You wonder if you'll ever get to sleep again. But you feel wonderful and proud. The thing is, you start to feel judgments from others, like the way your mother-in-law looks at you with that ever so light bit of concern about how you're holding the baby. Your neighbor doesn't feel too thrilled about the particular brand of stroller you bought. Your coworker wonders out loud why you're really taking so much time off. Pretty soon, you start wondering if you'll ever feel like you're doing this parenting thing right. Okay? So, some tips for putting a story like this together. Use dialogue in your stories, which I didn't do, but I implied dialogue with the neighbor with the stroller and the coworker with the time off. Use dialogue in your stories to show the pressures that come from conversations with others. A few words go a long way. And instead of describing the judgment, like his mother-in-law criticized his parenting, try using a really telling line like, "You're not going to let him cry it out again, are you?" she asked with a frown. Crisper dialogue makes the pressure feel real and immediate. Second, this is the one kind of copy where you can be effective by being subtle. Pressure isn't always obvious. And although sometimes it's pretty direct, like with this comment, "When are you going to lose all that weight?" Other times it's unspoken, sideways glances at the beach. Try using both in your stories. Sometimes the implicit is more powerful. And three, as the writer, don't go too hard on the people applying the pressure. Your prospect might care about them. It's easy to conjure up a villain, but that's not always the smartest way to do this. Like that critical and mother-in-law? Well, she might be annoying, but she probably means well. The insensitive coworker? They might be tone-deaf, but they could still be a friend. Walk the fine line of portraying the pressure without turning the source of the pressure into a jerk. This is not the best place to take creative risks.
This one is one that I'm going to have to go back and re-examine because, and I'm probably not alone, this is one of the more difficult ways to write copy, in my opinion.
It is, and one reason is that it's not obvious. I mean, unless you've been in that situation yourself, most people kind of keep that pressure to themselves because, you know, it's sort of shameful when other people start criticizing you and you don't know if they might be right. So
I'm thinking even if you do a lot of research for your copy, some of these things, like you mentioned the sideways glance from people on the beach, these are things that people don't say out loud. They don't say in the Amazon review comment section. These are things that really take a lot of work.
And this is why you have to go way outside. For example, in the New York trial against Donald Trump, one of the witnesses got criticized by the judge for giving the judge the side eye. He said, "You're giving me the side eye." So this is why you need to be connected with the world to find these things. But yeah, it's not easy. And, you know, you can learn to do it. Just takes looking at things a little different way. All right. Now, here's the bonus story that's not even in the book. It's called "Look, Someone Else is in Pain." Now, like I said, this bonus story is not in my book, but I think it's an interesting variation worth talking about. So we're going to leave my dogma of no hero's journey stories and go a little into the realm of Hollywood. One of their best tricks is to get people to feel sympathy for a main character and then to root for that main character. And yes, that character is usually the protagonist, or, okay, I'm going to have to say it, the hero. Now, we're not talking about a full-blown hero's journey story. We're really talking about an empathy story with a potential hero in the spotlight, which would only be the very beginning of a hero's journey story. And this story is vastly different than the other ones we've talked about today, because not only is this story not personal to the writer and not personal to the reader, doesn't involve them at all, in fact. The writer and the reader are distanced as observers. But when a well-drawn character experiences pain, there's this vicarious experience that the reader has that can build identification and trust in a very powerful way. And this happens in movies all the time. Now it can happen in your copy. So let's take a look at one of these stories. John had always been very proud of his thick, wavy hair. But as he turned 45, he noticed more and more of the strands of the hair circling the shower drain each morning. At first, he tried to ignore it. He started avoiding mirrors and wearing hats to hide his receding hairline. But one day, his teenage son awkwardly asked him if he was going bald, and it almost felt like a gut punch. John realized he wasn't just losing his hair, he was also starting to lose his confidence. I think a story like that's powerful. It's a lot easier for the reader, and this gets back to a point you made earlier too, Nathan, it's a lot easier for the reader to look at someone else's pain than to confront your own. The trick with this story to making it work is to get someone in the story that your audience identifies with so that they'll feel something when they see this story. And here's some tips for writing a story like this. First, pick a relatable character that represents your target audience. Create an everyday person that your prospect can see themselves in. You don't need a superhero, just an ordinary person. Give them a name, an age, maybe a job or a family situation. You don't necessarily need to include all that information in the story, but you need to be able to see them as a real person in your own mind. Yet, keep it general enough so that a wide swath of your audience can relate. You don't want to talk about their height, their weight, their astrological sign, you know, their blood type. You don't need to get too specific. The goal is familiarity more than uniqueness in this kind of story. Next, use specific, vivid details to make the story feel authentic and memorable. Instead of saying John was losing his hair, describe those hairs circling the drain. Instead of saying he felt bad, show him avoiding mirrors or tugging at his baseball cap. These concrete details make the story come alive and they make them stick in your reader's mind. Third, end the story at a pivotal moment, just before a solution is found. Don't solve the problem in your story. Leave your character at a crossroads. Maybe they've just realized how much this pain is affecting their life, or they're about to take a drastic step out of desperation. This creates some tension and it primes your reader for the solution.
I'm going to touch on something you've said a couple times in this episode, and I want to have you expand a little bit on it.
Okay.
You've mentioned at least three times, don't solve the problem in the story. Don't talk about the solution in the story. Why did that keep coming up and why is that important?
It comes up because that's a natural tendency, especially of a copywriter, especially someone who's not used to doing this. We're used to having closure, and of course, we're always used to always be closing, right? But the fact is, you want to leave it open-ended. It's kind of like an open loop. And if you start to sell, you're going to lose a lot of the trust that you just created. You know, when you're telling the story, it's to say, I know how you feel. Buy this. All of a sudden, the buy this like undercuts everything you just did. But you can do that, but you got to work your way towards it. You got to talk more about them, about situation, about alternatives they've tried, about the cost of not dealing with this problem and the benefits of dealing with it, why nothing else is going to work, and then why your product is the natural solution.
I think it's a pacing issue. If you're watching an episode of your favorite TV show and in the first 5 minutes they set up what the main conflict of the episode is going to be about, and then at minute number 7, they say, oh, by the way, here's the solution. There's no reason to watch the rest of the episode. And I think that we jump the shark sometimes as copywriters, and understanding that pacing and understanding you don't go immediately from here to here is an important thing for people to understand.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to look at it. And, you know, it'd be like if you walked into the theater and they said, well, you know, here's what the movie's about and here's how it's going to end. Enjoy the show.
Exactly. All right. Do you want to do a real quick recap before we're out of here?
Sure. So we've got 5 story types. 1, I know your pain. And this is an empathy story that describes your prospect's pain or problem. 2, I can see what you see. This is when you tell a story about a top of mind topic. and how it affects your prospect. 3, I feel your pain. What you're doing here is revealing an experience of your own that will ring a bell with your prospect and their experience. Story type 4, they're inflicting pain on you. This is the opposite of a personal story involving you. It's a social story where you talk about the pressure the prospect is feeling from others. And 5, look, somebody else is in pain. In this kind of story, the writer and the reader are actually distanced as observers. And you can find out all about the first 4 stories, plus 21 other kinds of stories that are not hero's journey stories in the Persuasion Story Code. And we'll leave a link in the show notes.
All right. And if you want to get the show notes, you can find those over at copywriterspodcast.com, as well as 390 plus other episodes of the podcast. So I'll treasure trove for you to dive into there, copywriterspodcast.com. Until next time, David, I will catch you later.
Thanks. Catch you later. Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.